This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The most dangerous thing happening on the planet right now, we're going to talk about a COVID reckoning. We're going to talk about many things tonight on I'm Right. Welcome back. We're all back from Thanksgiving, and it's time to get back to business. Now, what kind of business? Well, I want to talk about something. What keeps you up at night? What's the thing you're scared the most of right now? I'm not talking about little household thing, cockroaches and spiders, lions and tigers and bears. But what do you think is the most dangerous thing happening on the planet right now? For most people, they believe it's Russia. It's radical Islamic terror. That's all in the news right now. Oh my gosh, I don't want to get blown up by some jihadi. Some people, it's China. You know, take your pick. People have different fears, but I'm here to tell you if any one of those are your biggest fear right now, you're wrong. Your fear, I'm not going to say it's misplaced. Russia's a concern. China's a concern. Jihadis can blow you up tomorrow, today. I'm not saying don't be afraid. But what I'm saying is those things aren't even close to being the most dangerous thing happening on the planet right now. Let's just do a little analogy. Let's say I'm in a car. I have a driver. I got an Uber driver. And I'm driving down the highway. And the car pulling up behind me on the highway wants to kill me, wants me dead. Is that a dangerous situation for me? Of course. It's very, very dangerous. But there are a million and one ways that can go my way, and I'll be fine. But on the flip side, if my Uber driver, if he wants me dead, well, I'm in quite a pickle now, aren't I? The most dangerous thing happening on the planet, nothing else comes close, nothing else is even a close second, is Western governments turning against their own citizens. This isn't unique to America, as we're going to see here in a few minutes. But it most definitely is happening here in America. It is happening in Canada. It is happening in Ireland, which we'll get to. It's happening all across Europe. The, quote, free countries of the world, the Western democracies, as they like to call them, the more enlightened ones, freedom, this and that, they have decided that there's way too much of this freedom thing. And that so many of their citizens loving this whole freedom thing, that's the real problem. The American government declaring you to be the enemy is the most dangerous thing happening. Nothing else comes close. Nothing at all. And here's just a tiny, tiny example of what you're seeing. Don't worry, we'll get to more extreme ones. We just had Thanksgiving, right? And everybody, everyone on Earth, well, everyone in America anyway, they understand costs are staggering right now. They're staggering. It's unbelievable. I just flew to Montana. Bought 4 tickets, plane tickets to Montana to go up and see my family and have Thanksgiving up there. The plane tickets alone were, it was like taking a vacation to Hawaii. That's what the plane tickets alone were like. And then we got up there for Thanksgiving. And the food costs, we're not even talking a big party, 20, 30 of us. There were 10 of us in the room. The food costs were eye-popping. We're walking through the grocery store looking. The cost of Thanksgiving dinner is up 25%. 25% compared to what? Compared to before the lockdowns. And let's just pause on this real quick. I'm not going to get off on a sidetrack. Remember, the pandemic didn't raise any costs. None. Zero. None. The government response to the pandemic raised costs. Shut down the economy. 15 days to slow the spread. $1 trillion here, $1 trillion there, and now we can't afford Thanksgiving anymore. Okay, so the government screwed up. The government screwed up. You didn't screw up. Let's be clear. You didn't raise the cost of Thanksgiving food. You didn't do it. You're not responsible for this. The government is 100% responsible for the inflation in our lives, for the state of our economy, for everything going on. By any measure, it is the government's fault. So what is the government's response to you being upset with all these costs? Well, the government's response, first of all, is they're lying.
So let me hit you with a few numbers. So airline tickets down 13% over the past year, car rentals 10%, eggs 22%, Thanksgiving dinner, to be a bit topical, down 4.5%, with turkey down about 6%. That's deflation. That is lower prices in those areas.
This holiday season, families are seeing lower prices on everyday items from gas to groceries. As holiday shopping starts, shelves are stocked and prices for toys, TVs, and used vehicles are all down from last year. And we just saw record Black Friday sales.
Down from last year. Last year when everything was up 30%. So their first response is to lie. But that at least could be understandable. Their next response, though, did you see the latest and greatest? The White House, they're working with social media companies to counter misinformation about prices. So let's just wade through all the noise and get right to the nitty-gritty of it. The government has decided, since they raised the prices on everything, the real problem, it's not the prices. It's not what they did. The real problem is you. You complaining about it. You talking about it. You can't talk about their screw-ups. So instead of fixing their screw-ups, the government declared you to be the enemy, and now they're going to censor your free speech online to make sure you can't talk about it. The government decided you were the enemy. Don't think this is just America. Did you see what happened in Ireland? The latest and greatest, or worst, some Algerian immigrant nut job pulls out a knife, starts knifing a bunch of schoolgirls and teachers. It's absolutely beyond despicable. And the government there felt the outrage. Immediately, buses were burning, people were kicking in doors. There was immediate outrage by the Irish citizens, outrage at their government. Why? Well, along the same lines, European governments and the American government importing mass amounts of third world hordes to rape, murder, and abuse their own citizens goes along the same lines as declaring your people to be the enemy. And so the Irish people had enough of it. In fact, UFC champion Conor McGregor came out and said, no, no more. We are at war, is what he said. This must stop. Get these people out of our country. What was the Irish government's response to that? Remember, the Irish government imported third world hordes to abuse, rape, and murder their own citizens. Some nutball who should have been deported years ago, but they blocked his deportation. Some nutball goes on and knifes a bunch of schoolgirls, and the Irish government has decided that the enemy, it's the people who are upset about it. Listen to this police chief.
Well, I think there's disgraceful scenes in terms of a major investigation, the maintenance of a scene, the gathering of evidence, and we have a complete lunatic hooligan faction driven by far-right ideology and also then this disruptive tendency here and engaged then in serious violence. Now, we are drafting in resources to deal with that, and that will be dealt with properly.
The police chief, he found the bad guy in this whole thing, and it was his own people. Did you see this Irish leader on TV after the response? Did you see what he had to say?
In addition to that, I think it's now very obvious to anyone who might have doubted it that our incitement hatred legislation is just not up to date. It's not up to date for the social media age, and we need that legislation through, and we need it through within a matter of weeks. Because it's not just the platforms who have a responsibility here, and they do. There's also the individuals who post messages and images online that stir up hatred and violence. And we need to be able to use laws to go after them individually as well.
Do you see this senator from Ireland?
When you think about it, all law, all legislation is about the restriction of freedom. That's exactly what we're doing here, is we are restricting freedom, but we're doing it for the common good. You will see throughout our constitution, yes, you have rights, but they are restricted for the common good. Everything needs to be balanced. And if your views on other people's identities go to make their lives unsafe, insecure, and cause them such deep discomfort that they cannot live in peace, then I believe that it is our job as legislators to restrict those freedoms for the common good.
I almost want to applaud her for just coming on out and saying it. What is this new law? It's a law that says memes on your phone can send you to prison. That anti-immigrant meme you texted your buddy can send you to an Irish prison. They're going to send people to prison for memes? Who do they think they are? The United States of America? We already did that here. We sent Douglas Mackey to prison for a meme. It's not Ireland. It's everywhere. The Western governments have declared war on their own people. Do I need to point out what CIA, former director of the CIA, Michael Hayden, had to say? Someone put up a picture on social media of some radical jihadi nut job and then a woman holding a Bible and a gun and a flag and said, "What's the difference?" And he said, "There is no difference." Because the American government, the Canadian government, the Irish government, the English government, the German government, on and on and on, they have all decided, after they have abused and destroyed their own nations, they've decided the enemy is everyone who's upset about it. And let me just tell you, there is nothing in the world more dangerous than that. Nothing. Xi Jinping of China, oh, I hate his guts. He's not going to hurt me. Vladimir Putin, not going to hurt me. Some jihadi, even if he did blow me up today, he's not going to end my nation. But the American government, my own Uber driver, well, he can hurt me bad. Open up a history book if you don't believe me. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We're going to talk to Josh Hammer about this and many other things next. We have a great show for you tonight. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's take care of some dogs. You see, people abandon their dogs. Can you believe people just leave their dogs? Sometimes they're puppies. Sometimes they're grown. Like a dog that you would love, right? Like your dog. They'll leave apartments and just leave the dog behind. They'll kick their dogs out of on the side of the road of the highway and drive away. That's where Delta Rescue steps in. You see, these dogs would normally go to one of these animal shelters with only so much space, and so after a while, the dog gets put down. Delta Rescue is the world's largest no-kill care-for-life animal shelter, and they do what they do with your support. Support them in what they do. DeltaRescue.org. All right? We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To all those cowardly champions of Ireland who took to the streets of Dublin last night, let me say one thing. Ask your sisters, ask your friends, ask everyone you know what they fear most on our streets. They're afraid of you. Afraid of your anger and your rage, afraid of your violence, your hate, and how you blame others for your problems. As a government, we will be relentless in protecting our citizens and defending our people. The Gardaí will be on the streets in large numbers and will do whatever it takes to fight back waves of ignorance and criminality.
Just wrap your mind around how insane it is that you now hear speeches like that regularly from the top elected executive in Western nations. Joe Biden gave a speech just like that. That's the Irish premier right there, speaking down to his own citizens as if they're criminal scum. Joining me now, my friend, the host of the great Josh Hammer Show. Josh, I don't know if many people can see it. I know you see it. I marvel at how common this has become now. For most of my life, you never saw an American president or an Irish premier or anybody speak to his citizens this way. It's second nature for these people now, Josh. They hate us.
Yeah, they really do. And, you know, we've seen this, of course, in America as well. I mean, Jesse, what comes immediately to mind was that infamous speech that Joe Biden gave. I think it was in Philadelphia, if memory serves. It was just over a year ago, that speech in September 2022 with kind of the, you know, dare I say, Nazi-esque red and black lighting behind him, you know, using the military for overtly political, nakedly partisan purposes, calling half of Americans essentially slimeballs who deserve the gulag. That's a paraphrase, but it's a fairly accurate paraphrase. It's disgusting stuff, Jesse. And unfortunately, Ireland, I guess, is only the latest country to go down this very terrible road.
Josh, can you explain, take all the time you want, but explain how this could have happened. These are the Western democracies, as they like to call them. This is the free world. This is supposed to be the enlightened part. And now we sit here in 2024, and look, we'll point to Vladimir Putin locking up his political opponents. Our government does that regularly now. This is the norm. We have become what we were supposed to oppose. How did that happen?
So the best that I can do, you know, I think back to all the times that, and there's a lot of people who have made this point, but Dennis Prager, I feel like every other column, every other video he does, Dennis makes this point. And it's a very important point that I think shines a bright light on what we're seeing here, which is the left has moved away from liberalism. And, you know, this is kind of an oft-repeated point, but I think it's directly relevant to what we're talking about here. Back in the day, the left in Western countries, America, the UK, countries like Ireland, France, Canada, back in the day, 50, 60 years ago, at least pre-1960s, pre kind of the campus radicals, pre the cultural Marxism, before this great book that Chris Rufo wrote this summer, kind of exploring America's, you know, descent into cultural anarchy since the 1960s radicals. So going back further to that, going back to the 1950s, the American left was fundamentally liberal. And what that means, Jesse, and kind of a very higher important sense, is that whether you were on the right or on the left back at this time, we really kind of wanted the same result. We wanted America to be good. We wanted America to be just. We wanted Western civilization to prevail over our enemies, over the forces of barbarism, whether those forces are the Nazis of Germany, whether they are radical Islamists and so forth there. But as the left it got rid of liberalism, and as it adopted this modern wokeism, progressivism, leftism, whatever word you want to call it, we don't just disagree on the means anymore. We actually genuinely disagree on the ends. And what that means is that these people harbor a deep self-loathing hatred of Western civilization itself, of all that Western civilization has given us, of Jerusalem, Rome, Athens, the great foundational touchstones of what it means to be Western civilization in general, of Christianity and the Bible, scripture, the Enlightenment, all the various things that have gone into what makes this whole civilization great. And that is why you see, you know, these modern liberals, when they get up there and talk, or modern leftists, I should say, they start by talking about that these land acknowledgments. They start by talking about how we're all on confiscated land. This is all kind of a great imperial colonialist project. It comes, Jesse, from a deep, deep point of self-hatred. You see Europeans trying to apologize for the fact that European countries were allegedly colonizers for many years here. So that's where this is coming from. He's apologizing on behalf of his own country for his own country's heritage because he ultimately hates what that heritage stands for.
How could somebody grow to hate a country that is so wonderful? Josh, I know you've traveled a lot, you've seen the world, and I'm not naive. I understand America has problems, but man alive, I've seen some seriously ugly parts of this world. And here, I mean, we all have an iPhone. Josh, while I'm talking to you, I could sit down and order a pizza right now. Air conditioning, clean drinking water. Everyone's 10 feet away from clean drinking water right now. And yet so many people, grown adults, despise this place. How is that possible?
You know, I think part of it just comes from just a fundamental lack of gratitude. And, you know, the flip side of that, Jesse, is that I think it was Yuval Levin, he's at AEI now. He's the editor of National Affairs, a quarterly conservative journal, and a great kind of conservative thought leader in many ways. I think it was Yuval Levin who first said that the quintessential conservative virtue is gratitude. That's kind of Edmund Burke 101. You know, what did Edmund Burke stand for when it comes to, I mean, like the definition of a conservative? The definition of a conservative, according to Edmund Burke, is one who cherishes customs, traditions, one who knows that it's very difficult to build good things, but it's very easy to destroy good things. The natural flip side of that, Jesse, is that just as the quintessential conservative virtue is gratitude, what it means to be a leftist, a progressive, a wokester, a Marxist is ingratitude, is lack of gratitude for that which you have, and you have a desire not to build but to tear things down. That is that same radical impulse that was the campus radicals in the 1960s, back when they were protesting the Vietnam War, when they were protesting all sorts of other stuff that was going on at that time there, and is the same kind of impulse to tear down and not to build that I think we are seeing here when it comes to the head of Ireland basically telling his citizens to just shut up and take it. And if the form of taking it means you have, you know, immigrants from Algeria, as the case may be in what happened over the weekend, or in Syria or any of these other countries, if the form of kind of just sitting there and taking it takes, you know, raping, murdering people, then so be it. That's the price that Western civilizations must pay. But the point, Jesse, and you know this better than anyone in the fight, obviously, the point is that we cannot just sit there and take it, because this is evil stuff. Governments fundamentally in the Western tradition are of, by, and for the people. That is what Abraham Lincoln famously said in his Gettysburg Address, and he was absolutely right. So if those words mean anything whatsoever, then these absolute contemptible fools who purport to be ruling over us by telling us what to do like this, they must be held accountable.
Speaking of evil, despicable things, let's talk about the University of Michigan. Not only did they defeat my beloved Buckeyes this weekend, but they treated my friend Josh Hammer like crap. What happened up there?
Yeah, terrible stuff, Jesse. So their local YAF chapter, Young Americans Foundation, they invited me to talk, I guess it was a week and a half ago now. It was Thursday, November 16th, on the war in Gaza. And, you know, my stance on that conflict is very straightforward, which is that there is a good side, there is a bad side. And when it comes to basic things like moral support, diplomatic support, things like that, we should unabashedly support our ally in their attempt to annihilate their genocidal foe. And I got there, Jesse, and within 3 to 5 minutes of talking, these 20, 25 protesters get up there, they throw their hands up into the air, they're all wearing these matching t-shirts that show these Arab children who have died in Gaza since the war started, notwithstanding the fact that, you know, each and every one of these deaths under international law and also just basic morality is attributable not to Israel, but to Hamas because of human shields. Hold all that aside. And then a few minutes after they put their hands into the air, they start coughing. Every time I opened my mouth to speak, I mean, it kind of felt, Jesse, like I was in a tuberculosis ward there. It was very weird. And, you know, I remind them, you know, like I say, like, okay, you know, you guys are allowed to stand there, but it's against university policy and, oh, by the way, the law to shout down my words. And then the coughs turn into the chants, you know, free Palestine, all that stuff. And university police administrators did absolutely nothing. This went on for 30 to 35 minutes. One total dolt and ineffective, you know, idiot got up there at the podium and was like, oh, I'd like to remind you of XYZ things. They drowned him out too. So they ultimately left of their own volition, but this took 30 to 35 minutes. So I personally, Jesse, you know, I'm a lawyer by background. That's not how the First Amendment works. That's just not how it works there. You do not have a First Amendment right to a heckler's veto to shout down other speech. So what I'm calling for is an investigation from the Michigan legislature here into what happened there, because this cannot happen at what is purportedly a very prestigious public university that is allegedly supposed to uphold the First Amendment right to free speech.
Yeah, it's more of a community college anyway. Josh, thank you, brother. I appreciate you very much. All right. We have a culture war still going on. Did you catch that Thanksgiving Day parade? You notice the big tranny flag? We'll get to that with Libby Evans here in a second. Before we do that, you're going to have to fight back against all this nonsense, are we not? Are you ready? Do you have the energy, the focus for it? Listen, let me just talk to the guys here for a second. Fellas, there's estrogen in the water. This isn't some crazy conspiracy theory. We know there is. There's a ton of it, and we know why. It's because of all the birth control women take. It does not get strained out. When the water gets treated, you drink estrogen over and over and over again. That's why testosterone levels have been cut in half in 50 years. That is that'll end the country. We won't continue on. I believe in natural solutions. I've been so disgusted by our medical complex in this country that I've gone pretty much all natural. That's why I love Chalk so much. Natural herbal supplements. And I personally take a male vitality stack every day. Male vitality stacks, three different supplements. Don't worry about it. It's incredible. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days, naturally. Go to chalk.com. Black Friday specials are still on right now. You have to use the code JESSETV to get those, though, all right? Code is JESSETV. We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this most American of holidays, we have very special guests about to join us by phone. Right now, we have the President of the United States, Joe Biden, and the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden. Happy Thanksgiving to both of you.
This Thanksgiving Day, Al, we have to come together. We can have different political views, but we have one view. The one view is we're the finest, greatest nation in the world. We should focus on that. We should focus on dealing with our problems and being together, and stop the rancor. You know, we have to bring the nation together, and we have to treat each other with a little bit of decency. And I think that's where the vast majority of American people are.
Treating each other with decency. Stop the rancor. It seems like it was only yesterday that same president got up in front of the United States of America and gave a speech calling me a threat to democracy because I voted for Donald Trump. And did you notice the flag hanging from that church? America's religion. Here in the U.S. of Gay, joining me now, Libby Emmons, editor-in-chief of the great post-millennial. Libby, kids, families, I remember watching the Thanksgiving Day parade with my mother and sister. They used to make me watch that crap every single time, but there was never a drag float, but it's a different country now.
Yeah, it sure is. I remember going to that parade when I was a kid. I went with my mom. I begged her to take me once or twice, and then that was it. It gets cold out there. But yeah, this year we had anti-Israel protesters, pro-Palestine protesters, whatever you want to call them, shutting down the parade, gluing themselves to the street, just like the climate change activists do. And what Thanksgiving would be complete without Joe Biden and another trans flag? He's obsessed with trans. Have you noticed that? Every time he opens his mouth, it's always something about the LGBTQ, whenever he can pronounce it properly. So yeah, it's no surprise that they framed up Roker there with the same flag that Biden draped over the White House this summer.
Libby, why is this stuff not slowing down? In fact, it's picking up. After all, we've seen Disney's prices go down. I should say their stock prices go down. Target has taken a beating, but Target hasn't missed a beat. This year, they're wheeling out Roller Santa. He's handicapped and black. They don't stop with this stuff ever.
Yeah, they sure don't stop with this. And as soon as we start complaining and noticing, they do. They're really picking up speed. As you said, it's just all over the place. I'm not sure why it's picking up speed, though. Here we are screaming at the top of our lungs saying, hey, just hold on. Not every kid is gay and trans. You don't have to just keep going with this stuff. There's representation all over the place. We are well aware of the diversity in the multicultural country that we live in. We're very clear on that. But yeah, you had the Target executive going on TV talking about how his staff had never felt more unsafe than they did during June when they put out the pride onesies for newborns and the tucking swimsuits for men that think they are women and want to, you know, hide their situation. The CEO actually said staff had never felt more unsafe. Meanwhile, you had riots we saw in 2020 in Philadelphia and elsewhere, people storming into the Targets, brutalizing the displays, vandalizing everything. Really makes you wonder about the definition of safety that the CEO has. And Disney, they're just going to keep doubling down on this, as we know, as they keep doing. I'm not sure why they keep doing it. I think they must really think that it helps their bottom line. So perhaps more of these companies need the Bud Light treatment.
Perhaps they do. You know, let's go to a little you voted for this section. I saw this little video of black New Yorkers upset about the illegals getting all the handouts.
Why do we have to take the butt of everything? Okay, this community here is already suffering. They was first online for the turkeys this morning. If they tell you to be there at 11 o'clock, you get there like 10:30, 10:45, but they already out there. The line is from over there to over here.
We would never turn anyone away for a meal, but there simply just is not enough for both NYCHA residents and the migrant shelter residents. People are going hungry right now. People are frustrated with not having enough to eat, not having heat and hot water in their shelters or in their houses in NYCHA. And people want to make sure that they just have their basic needs met, like any human would anywhere. And that's what's causing the tension.
Yeah. Libby, maybe I'm just a cold-hearted old soul, and I probably am, but I really have such a hard time caring about the people who vote Democrat every time suffering under Democrat rule. Time and time again, these people go vote Democrat like brain-dead drones, and time and time again, they continue to get screwed. Why am I supposed to give a crap?
Yeah, it's pretty tough, although I will say that I love seeing black New Yorkers speak up for themselves and speak up for the city. We see the same thing in Chicago with black residents of the city being like, hey, we don't need all these illegal immigrants swarming into the city and taking all of our resources and messing everything up, flooding the schools with kids who are not up to speed. It's really a shame, and we see that. And I do think that perhaps this is a moment where Americans can get together and realize that despite our you know, various differences, we can at least all agree that the borders should be secure, that the nation should be sovereign. Perhaps that's too much to hope. But one thing I will say is we see in New York, we saw with the election of Eric Adams, who was the most conservative Democrat, if that's even a thing, that he won pretty handily. And I know because I was in New York at the time, there was pretty much no help for the Republican candidate for mayor. It was Curtis Sliwa. And also, you know, he's a pretty interesting guy, but I think a lot of people were not on board with him, but he wasn't even getting support. In New York City, conservatives don't get a lot of support when they try to run. So what is up with the, you know, GOP, you know, the whole thing, the RNC, whoever decides, that they don't actually back candidates who could win in places where the populace is yearning for a better option? New Yorkers aren't really given better options. You know, we don't see a lot of candidates who come up who are not part of the Democratic Party machine. And I think that that's a failure too of conservative leadership. Let's get these people some people they can vote for, some leaders who will actually make something better happen in their neighborhood so that they're not stuck with this same old garbage, like the, you know, the woman talking about how New York can't provide for migrants and people in need in New York at the same time, and somehow the migrants get prioritized.
Do you think the pain has gotten bad enough in these kind of places, Libby, like New York, Chicago, and others, that you're going to start seeing people vote a different way? Has it gotten bad enough? I say it hasn't, but like, I'm happy if I'm wrong.
I don't think it has exactly. I think that you're right about that, Jesse. We haven't seen a lot of polling from inside New York City that says people are willing to make changes at the local levels or at the federal level. I hope that they do come around and see that, but the indoctrination has been so thorough that people actually think Republicans are going to come force people to have babies and do all of, you know, whatever else they think that's been fed to them by MSNBC. The messaging has been really bad. I think conservatives should get out there and get some better messaging and really explain their values and their views so that people know what they are. Instead, you have people who have been voting Democrat in Democratic cities, seeing GOP and just thinking, oh, that's fascist, they hate women and they're racist. And none of that is actually true. Why haven't conservatives had better messaging in these cities to make sure that people and constituents know what the values are, know what the priorities are, know what the policies would be, instead of just letting the mainstream media make all of these assumptions?
Well, let's hope we can get some changes. Libby, you are the best. Thank you. All right. Now, have you heard? There's another virus coming. There's another virus out of China coming. Okay, look. Don't panic. We're going to have an honest conversation about this in just a moment, all right? Before we do that, it doesn't take a genius to see where we're going financially. If you study or read any of these market guys that kind of track trends and things like that, virtually every metric out there, home sales, everything, it all tracks to bad stuff coming. Is what it is. They can't stop spending. They can't stop printing. And get this, no one in the government is even talking about stopping the spending. Nobody is. Please tell me you've taken some steps to protect yourself and your family. Call Oxford Gold Group. Just let them get some gold or silver, I don't care what color it is, coins in your physical possession. You don't have to go crazy, right? Something. The normal person needs something. Get some in your 401k. Get some in your retirement so you don't get wiped out there either. And maybe all this sounds ominous and complicated. Oh my gosh, do I need a bank? You don't need any of that. Just go to jessekellygold.com. They make it super easy. My dad goes there. My dad doesn't know anything about technology. That's how easy it is. jessekellygold.com. All right? We'll be back.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's get out in front of something right now. I don't know if you have seen the news or the scary headlines, but there's a virus, they say, in China right now. Videos are coming out of Beijing. Surprise, surprise. It's a respiratory illness. The World Health Organization is calling it, what are they calling it? A mystery illness linked to pneumonia. Okay, now let's pause on everything here. Pause on everything. What's really going on? Well, let me be honest with you, because I know you come here for the truth. I don't know. I don't know. You don't know. And the truth about the world we live in now is we'll probably never know. And that's going to be an adjustment for you and me. It is. In this way, and this is what I mean. Who would you trust? If they came out right now and told you this is the deadliest virus in the world, go home and hide. And it could be, right? It could be. There are deadly viruses out there. But who would you trust? Would you trust the media? After what they did to us during COVID? Would you trust the media? Hey, go home, hide, 6 feet away. No, you wouldn't. You'd laugh. So would I. I'd roll my eyes. I'd laugh. Would you even trust the Center for Disease Control, which, you know, about 15 minutes ago was a trusted organization, but now, after everything they've done, CDC comes out tonight, oh my gosh, go home, hide, we're all gonna die. I know what you'd do. You do the exact same thing I do. Oh, gosh, here we go again. Not falling for that. Moving on. What if it is the deadliest virus in the world? We would never know because we don't trust our institutions anymore. And this is exactly what I was screaming about over and over and over and over again, not halfway into all the COVID stuff, in the very, very, very beginning of it. Do you remember when Trump came out and said this?
We're announcing new guidelines for every American to follow over the next 15 days. As we combat the virus, each and every one of us has a critical role to play in stopping the spread and transmission of the virus. We did this today. This was done by a lot of very talented people, some of whom are standing with me.
And I screamed. I screamed that it was a mistake, that it was going to devastate the country, that it was going to destroy freedom, mental health, and everything else. I screamed about it. You remember, you were probably screaming right there along with me. And yet they all pushed forward. And now here we are, just a few years later, and all the institutional trust of the nation is gone. From yesterday to today, the American people don't trust the media. They don't trust the CDC. They don't trust the FBI. They don't trust doctors anymore. I remember, like it was yesterday, a doctor was something. Wow, immediately you saw the scrubs, right? Hey, I'm Dr. Nerd. And immediately you said to yourself, wow, he must be super smart. He's a doctor. Whatever he says, probably the truth. Now, when I see doctors say something, I go, probably lying again. Because of all the lying they did during COVID. I know you feel the same way. The institutional trust that was lost because of the COVID lockdowns won't be recovered without a reckoning. Remember what I said back in February of 22? We must have a reckoning. And you can call it vengeance, that's fine. I'm not gonna lie to you, I do want vengeance, there's no question about that. But for the good of the country, for the sake of Western society, we must have people put on trial. People must go to prison for this, they must. People have to lose their livelihoods. They have to lose everything because they took everything away from others. They must watch their colleagues lose everything over lies so they don't tell those same lies again another time. There must be a reckoning. It must happen. It must be severe, and it must be public. Everyone thought Jesse was a big meanie McMean face when I said that, but the reason I said that is because of situations like we have right now. The only way to claw back that institutional trust, a nation needs to remain a nation. Remember, without institutional trust, we will not be a nation very much longer. We will just break up. That's what will happen. You must trust your institutions. So we must get that trust back. And the only way to get that trust back is to take all of the people who have lied, manipulated, made mistakes even, and these people must be severely punished. To show the public that there is some justice out there. But we never got it. We have never gotten it. And now here we sit. This next virus out of Beijing, it's probably nothing, again. Maybe it's something, though. I don't know. But who could you believe? Who would you ever believe? The answer is nobody. And that's why the next time somebody comes around, Republican or Democrat, and tells you to close your business, close your school, put a mask over your face, inject this brand new thing into your body, the response to that should be much different the next time than it was the last time. All right? We're not done yet. You know what? I need to lighten the mood. You need to lighten the mood. Let's do a good one here in a second. All right? Before we do that, let's do this. We talk a lot about caring for ourselves now, and I'm glad we do. Exercise more, eat better, water. But this applies to our dogs as well. We don't realize that our dogs die years before they should here in America. And they die because they never get nutrition. What do we give our dogs? I've had a million dogs my whole life. What have I given them? Dog food. It's what you give your dog. Dog food is what you get, right? Surely it has everything the dog needs. But it doesn't. Dog food is dead. That's why it's all brown. Have you ever wondered why it's all brown? It's brown because they kill everything alive in it at the factory, so it'll last longer on the shelf. Your dog just eats empty calories all day, every day. We wonder why their coats get dull, their breath gets bad, why they don't have energy, why they die at 10 instead of 15. Start giving your dog Rough Greens and watch your dog come alive. You will see a difference in your dog, and you'll have that dog a lot longer. Free Jumpstart trial bags. You have to call them 833-33-MY-DOG, or you can go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. Your dog needs nutrition just like you do. All right? All right. Lighten the mood. Next.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word, one that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put 2 and 2 together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy?
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And you know I used to love the NFL. We've talked about this before, right? For you new viewers, about the time I got out of the Marines, I wasn't doing all that well mentally. But I found something I was really, really, a passion, if you will. When I wasn't working or whatever, I would watch the NFL. I just got into it. And I had my team, and on Sunday I would sit down and I would just geek out and I would just obsess all over football. And then St. George Floyd died, and I watched all those spoiled brat millionaires take a steaming dump all over my country time and time again, and I left. And unlike most people, I'm a Kelly, so I hold grudges. I'm not coming back, ever. But I'll be honest with you, it's just you and me talking here. I miss it. I miss football. And I have found my new fix, high school football. I go to high school football games here in Texas, and they're awesome. And they're patriotic, and the plays, I mean, look at this.
Wants to throw from the shadow of the goal line. On a slant route. Intercepted! A one-hand pick! My goodness. He goes up with two, stops it, and then behind his back, he reaches and sticks it for an interception for the Belleville defense. What an amazing play. Wow.
Kids can play, man. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. 3 times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
What I told people, I was making a podcast about Benghazi. 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.